All right, but did you notice not once in the debate, not a single mention of Asian carp?
Well,
what do you know?
Welcome to an encore performance of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's a one-woman ode to Shakespeare with actress Tracy Michelle Arnold and our town of the week. Plus, we'll tack on a round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who TiVo'd the debate in the hopes that one day a cure might be found, it's Michael Feldman.
Asian carp. Well, I don't know about the rest of the country, but Asian carp is the issue around here. Wouldn't you agree? Yes, see? They're vehement about it. You know, and after 18 months of railing against the Asian carp, Romney acted like it never happened. Not one reference. And Obama, of course, was just pocket fishing the whole time, so he didn't say anything about it. But next, the Veeps are up, the vice presidents, you know, and it's... You know, Joe's got some Asian carp stories. So it's going to come out. And Paulie Ryan actually likes to noodle them. You know, he likes to stick his fist down the throats of Asian carps. Trying to impress his father-in-law was Jed Clampett. Okay. I'm just talking to myself here. I was just saying, this is all parenthetical before we get to the actual humor. And all the news that isn't, for once, Mitt etched the right sketch. But, you know, you can't save them. You know, you get a good etch-a-sketch, you can't save them. So we'll see what happens. Romney now says it's not a 47% rate, more like a 14% rate. But he did say offhandedly that roughly half of all Americans smell bad. In Pennsylvania, a judge ruled that you no longer have to prove you're related to William Penn to vote. Global warming is making fish smaller. That's just discovery. As the world's fish get smaller, we'll see if the stories do too. No kidding, it was this big. The middle class goes to court to seek protection from both candidates, who must now stay 1,000 yards away from the middle class. What do they know about it, really? How middle class are they? Chrysler doing so well, the new DeSoto is just around the corner. In a new Lifetime movie, Lindsay Lohan plays both Liz and Dick. Arnold Schwarzenegger says he knew something was up when the housekeeper's kid bench-pressed his mom while smoking a cigar. With the butler in jail, the Pope has been conducting mass with his cassock on backwards. Just reporting the news, I don't make it up. Now that it's possible to get 1 billion likes on Facebook, the 173 I have are not looking so impressed. Under the new guidelines for the Secret Service, you may not share a hooker. That's all the news that isn't. Thank you so much, and good night. Or good day. Or good afternoon, depending upon where you are. Okay. Wasn't good, but it was quick. We tried, please. This is exciting now. Ladies and gentlemen, Tracy Michelle Arnold.
Hi.
Who is starring in Shakespeare's Will at the American Players Theater, which is actually the story of Anne Hathaway, not the one we have, but the original one.
Right. I'm not the movie star.
Well, I think you could be, dear. I really believe that. I believe that, sincerely. Shakespeare's wife.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of interesting now. And how did the play come about? Who wrote this?
The play is written by a Canadian playwright named Verne Thiessen. Yeah. And it's almost entirely fictional because there's very, very little known about Anne Hathaway. So it's his version of events.
Yeah. Were they even living together? I know there was some...
There was a very long separation.
Yeah.
when Shakespeare decided to go to London and leave Stratford so that he could become a playwright.
Oh, yeah.
He left his family behind, and that's a lot of what the play is about.
Yeah, that period.
About Anne's experiences.
Kids?
Being married to a man like that.
Kids?
Three.
Three kids?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any of them look like him?
I have no idea.
Okay. It was a long separation. And so not much is known about him, let alone his wife. But I mean, his personal life, is there very little?
Well, I haven't a clue.
Yeah. They have a signature on a deed.
Unfortunately, I'm not a history major. I'm an actor,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, I know. So Anne Hathaway there. And what the gist of it is, what is Anne Hathaway portrayed as being like? I mean, what is her ethos?
Well, she's a strong woman. She has to endure a long separation from her husband, like I said. Vern has written her to be a sexually present woman. Yeah, I'll say that.
Okay.
She's aware of the fact that she enjoys her sexuality and she enjoys men, and so that's a struggle, being married, particularly to a man who is gone most of the time.
So less of a struggle, perhaps, under those conditions.
It's about her becoming a mother and the struggles of motherhood. And really about the compromises you make when you choose to live a life with someone else.
Yeah.
You know, it's about marriage in many aspects.
Yeah.
It is about this particular one, but I think a lot of people who are in that type of relationship can relate to a lot of the story.
Yeah. Along the way, did she say anything about whether he actually wrote the stuff or not?
No, she doesn't.
No.
It's assumed that he did.
It's assumed that he did.
On her part.
Yeah, okay. And the little piece that we're going to have here from you, this section is...
I'll tell you, it was hard to pull a piece from it, Michael. It's a mercurial piece. It goes from...
I get those all the time. They go away. It's a reflux thing.
Right, well, maybe I need a little pill. It was hard to find a section that, A, wouldn't give away major plot points in case anyone's still coming to see the show.
Oh, yeah.
But also that gave you a true flavor of what the show is about without... me having to do 20 minutes of a segment because everything sort of leads into something else or comes from something else. So I picked a little segment that sort of deals with the broad generalities of the play, but I think it's something.
Well, the play is the thing, as
the
somebody once
thing.
Said.
Mm.
Would you like to?
Sure.
Step
okay.
up and, ladies and gentlemen, Tracy Michelle Arnold from Shakespeare's Will.
So I'll preface this by saying I didn't know I was going to stand up and do it. I thought I was going to sit at a microphone and do it. And I generally do this with some set pieces, so it's a little different. But I'll just do this little segment for you. The more you succeed, Bill, the less and less you come home. At first it was every month, then every three, then on holy days to see the children. Then once when a bout of the fever briefly closes the theaters. Once when your father died, once for your mother. Sadly, Joan lives on in perpetuity. I become a beggar for news, asking anyone who comes from the city, do you have word from my husband? Yes, they say, his play is doing well. Yes, I know, but my husband, do you have word from him? You should be proud, they say. Yes, I am, but has he sent word? But now you write, even less than you visit, saving your words only for work. Only shillings arrive, shillings and short messages. Dearest Anne, all well here. We'll write later with details. Much love, Bill. Or, dear Anne, send Hamnet and the girls my best. Love, Bill. Or, Anne, home next month. Bill. But you never come. At night, I dream I am a gull, flying over rocks, land, sliding down creeks, rivers, and roads, soaring into the city to land atop the theater. I perch myself above the crowds to see your newest, to see the players, to hear your words. I watch them float up. The words,
your words, and I snatch them in my beak, warm them under my wing, take them back to my nest, and like juicy worms, feed them to the children who gobble them down, the words. Your words. So that's
very nice.
Thanks.
All words. That Bill was all words.
He was.
Yeah. Did you call him Bill or Will, you think?
In the play, he's called Bill.
He's Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And yet it's Shakespeare's Will.
Indeed.
Indeed.
A multi-layered title.
I'm supposed to think about that, I guess.
The play takes place, the opening of the play is on the day of his funeral.
Oh, okay.
So she begins the play by saying that she's just buried him, and she's carrying his will in her hand. The only prop in the play, incidentally, other than a
the only time she carried will in her hand, probably.
Perhaps.
Well, we don't know their personal life.
She might have been strong. We don't know.
Not for us to delve there, I guess. And, Anne Hathaway. Anne Hathaway.
She Hathaway.
About her. Anne Hathaway with words. What if Anne Hathaway wrote Shakespeare?
What if she did? What if she, like many wives, read over his work and said, "I like this. I'm not so big a fan of that."
Now these spots.
Do they have
should,
to kill
these spots
so many
should
people?
Come out. The spots
right,
should come
exactly.
out. Number one. It's a cleaning problem. This is really about a cleaning problem more than anything else. This play. Damn spots. That would be cool though, wouldn't it? Because there weren't women playwrights. Women
right.
could not be on stage at this point.
Right.
So what if she did all the writing and he took
what
all
if
the
she
credit?
Did? I think there are probably a lot of exceptional women behind great men, and that is perhaps the largest basis of the play is I think this playwright's idea that she was a force behind him.
Yeah.
That helped him.
And really came up with the phrases and stuff, right?
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
She's awfully poetic in the show itself, though.
Thank
Come
you
on
so
out.
Much. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having
Tracy
me.
Tracy Michelle
My
Arnold.
Pleasure.
Shakespeare's Will. Get out there to Spring Green. Don't go to Springfield. That's something else. I don't know what they got in Springfield. I'm surprised you said that. Are we breaking now or not?
No, not yet.
No, we're not. Okay.
No, I think we should hear some music first.
You think you want to hear a little song?
Yeah, but really.
Do you want to do a request? Sarah, I'm sure they would listen to you. They never pay attention.
We don't take requests.
Not even on the back of a $20 bill anymore. Yeah. What does it come to?
50.
Yeah. You're big. Did you notice, by the way, we had the guy who clears his throat and does a little mild coughing? This guy works every live performance of every play in the world, and I'm not quite sure who he is, but he's here with us today, and I thought that was so cool. We had a little throat. Did you hear it?
Yeah,
mild cough. Yeah. It's not easy to cough quietly.
No, it's not.
That's an art. There's an art to that. Okay.
Can't hack quietly.
So this song here, now, is this one of yours, John?
No, it is not.
As we're led to believe?
No. No, I didn't lead you to believe anything.
No.
Nothing at all.
I'm not saying you did. I'm saying I was led to believe.
It's kind of. This is kind of a pop standard.
It is?
That... jazz musicians like to play sometimes.
Are you going to tell us, or should we just listen to it and try to figure it out?
It, yeah.
Okay. All right. And on the bass, Jeff Hammond. Exciting. And you know, each week at this time, and some weeks not at all. In fact, most weeks we don't do it at this time or any time. Our town of the week. And here is Sarah Nix.
Our town of the week, it was founded in 1860. It's Nevada, Missouri, originally named Nevada City, and is
Nevada.
Situated Nevada, in fact. It's situated at the very center and is the county seat of Vernon County, Missouri. During the Civil War, Nevada was known as the Bushwhacker capital of the United States. Bushwhackers were Southern guerrilla fighters. You can learn all about their storied history at the Bushwhacker Museum. It's a popular tourist attraction. In 1860...
So were they the ones, the Missourians who bushwhacked the Kansans, or the Kansans bushwhacked the Missourians?
Well, I think we're about to hear a story about it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I think there was some retaliatory fire building in 1863. Mm-hmm. A northern militia retaliated against bushwhacker attacks on Union soldiers by burning down Nevada City. Oh. Only a few buildings survived the fire, including the Vernon County Jail, which still stands. Mm-hmm. Visitors to the jail get to explore original 19th century cells or the drunk tank. Nevada City was rebuilt after the war and in 1869 officially changed its name to Nevada, but by the end of the war was not the end of violence. Infamous outlaws Frank and Jesse James had a hideout in Vernon County. Mm. Frank James stayed in Nevada for 5 years after his brother died, and his home is still standing today. The railroads arrived in Nevada in the 1870s, and an economic boom hit the hamlet. Another boom came when the state erected a mental hospital, which went on to employ more than 1,000 local residents. After the railroad heyday...
To incarcerate or employ?
Employ.
Oh.
I don't know how many people were actually residents there. Mm-hmm. After the railroad heyday, new manufacturing businesses like 3M helped revive the local economy.
Okay.
In addition to Frank and Jesse James, Nevada is the birthplace of legendary filmmaker John Huston, who directed classics like The Maltese Falcon and The Misfits. In sports, you'll find locals cheering on the Nevada High School Tigers year-round. That's our town of the week. This week, it's Nevada, Missouri.
Okay. Sarah. We're calling randomly now, and I mean randomly, to anywhere, not just Nevada, Missouri, to find someone who will, from an insider's point of view, tell us about Nevada or anything else they might happen to know along the way. So we've got 3M is still the biggest employer in Nevada?
Apparently, yep.
Apparently.
Helped to revive the local economy. It did.
What do they make there, the 3M? Is that the tape?
I believe so, yeah. Office products, that kind of thing.
Office products?
Mm-hmm.
You're making this up as you go along?
No, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I'm down with 3M, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Anything else there? Employers? Is there a school there in town, a university or a college? Or
There's the high school Tigers, the Nevada High School Tigers.
Okay.
But I don't think that there's a larger school.
Community college?
No, I don't believe not.
Do you know for sure?
Or? No, I don't actually know for sure.
Okay.
But
okay. Ryan Leonard is online from Nevada, and he can fill us in on some of those things as well, I'm sure. Hi, Brian. How are you?
Just fine. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. We're calling. This is What Do You Know, and we're calling because Nevada is our town of the week. And we just were able to hear Sarah's little description of Nevada and the history.
Yes, I did hear it.
Okay. Anything that you need to correct or add to that?
We do have a community college. It is a Crowder College. It's a two-year school. But we also have a Cotty College.
Uh-huh.
It's a women's school here in town.
Oh, no kidding. Okay, so two colleges.
Yes.
Fantastic.
It's a privately owned liberal arts school. It was founded back in the early, I believe, 1900s by Alice Cotty. And it's a real famous liberal school.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. And Brian, what do you do in town?
I'm the mayor.
You're the mayor.
I also teach high school.
Oh, you're the mayor. Okay.
Yes.
Well, congratulations, Your Honor.
Thank you.
How long have you been mayor?
I've been mayor 2 years now. I've been on council about 7.
Okay. We have to run, mayor, but one thing you want to say about Nevada, Missouri, what would you close with?
It is a great community to live. I've lived here all my life. I'm very proud of it.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Brian Leonard from Nevada, Missouri, our town of the week.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Thank you. That was almost authentic. That sounded really...
Yeah, I'm working on authenticity.
Yeah, okay. Are those hipster shoes you're wearing now?
Yeah, they're pretty hip, huh?
Yeah. What are those called?
They're called shoes without laces, so I can get them on and off quickly.
Oh, okay. It's a long name for a shoe. What's the best way to ripen green tomatoes? What you do is you put one under each arm, and you have someone tie up with a rope. But you got to stay away for 3 or 4 days, and they ripen perfectly. Jerry is here from Boulder Junction. He's a crappy guide. Jerry, what work are you going to get if you're going to say you're a crappy guide? You got to say you're really a good guide.
I'm a good guide.
Okay. Are you a fisherman? No. Okay. So let's say hello to Jerry. Seems like a nice guy, even though he was a crappy guy. Maybe a crappy guy, but he's a nice guy. Okay. Wonder if they're going to punch that out every time I say that. No. Probably. I don't know. Is that one of the words you can't say? Oh, crappy.
Crappy guy, yeah.
Here's the crappy guy, then. Have to take that out, too. Can I stand up there if you wouldn't mind? Jerry, what's the last name, Jerry?
Jerry Burgett.
Burgett.
Yeah.
Jerry Burgett from Boulder Junction. How are you?
I'm fine.
You down here for the game, then? Is that why you're wearing the shirt?
I'm here to watch Illinois lose, so.
Okay. You have something against Illinois in particular?
No. Southern folks, I guess.
Care for the flatheads down there?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Well, Boulder Junction, you get a lot of them coming up there, though.
Oh, yeah. As long as they bring money, they're welcome.
Yeah. How are they as far as customers? Are they okay?
They're okay.
Do they know which end of the pole to throw in the water? Or?
No, not really. So.
You know, what scares me is when they come up with their muskets and stuff for deer hunting, you know.
Yeah. Then you go hide.
These are guys who are accountants and, you know, market guys.
Yeah. They don't.
First time they held a gun in their hands.
Yeah. And don't know which way they're pointing it. So.
Yeah. Can't even tell the breeds of dogs they're shooting, most of them.
Right.
Okay. Any tips now to us coming up there in Boulder Junction? Is it fishing, still fishing season up there? And,
oh, yeah. Yeah, it's slow.
What are they taking? And where are they taking it?
I don't know. In the lake.
You're not without a buck. You're not going to tell me anything, are you?
No.
Are they pulling in a lot of crappies this year?
Yeah, they're kind of suspended right now. So,
you know, what I don't get about crappie, hear about guys fishing for crappie and all that sort of stuff. I never heard of anyone eating a crappie.
Oh, they're very good.
Yeah, that's what I always say. I say that to these guys. So, they're really good. You know, you gotta watch out for the bones in them, though, don't you?
Gotta fillet them.
Gotta fillet them with a chainsaw. I understand because they're a little bit.
Yeah.
They're kind of bony.
Yeah. Well,
but you don't see, like in a restaurant, you see a crappie, you know, today's fresh.
No, you don't
catch of the day, crappie.
Right. It's just kind of a local thing. Yeah. They're better than muskies. The muskie fishermen are just thrown back in the lake, so it'll. But crappies, you keep them. So.
Yeah. Well, muskie, you don't eat those either. Have you eaten a muskie?
They're bad.
Have you eaten a muskie, sir?
No. I've never had a muskie.
So aren't you a little bit curious what they taste like?
Not necessarily.
Something that ugly has got to taste pretty good, is what I'm thinking. It works in nature.
Why don't you try it first and you let me know?
No, I'm still working on this crappie thing. Very nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
All right, thank you for coming down here. Go Badgers! Go Badgers! Badger, how are you?
Hi.
Very nice scream, by the way.
What?
You have a really good scream.
Oh, thank you. I practice my screaming at home.
Do you?
Yeah.
Kids or?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I try to be louder than they are. I usually succeed.
Yeah, but do you go to events and do the screaming? Because there's always someone who's got a good scream. We have the guy who did the
throat clearing.
The throat
yeah,
clearing.
Maybe we should get together.
The mild coughing, but you're a good crowd screamer.
Oh, thank you. Can I be hired?
What was the last?
I'll shut up there. My name is Sarah, too.
Yeah. What is the last event you went to and screamed at?
Oh, there's so
audience
many.
Event.
I don't know.
What's
I
the last
can't think of one. Maybe.
You go a band that you really like, you went and screamed?
Oh, Mute Math.
What?
Mute Math.
Who?
It's a band.
Mute Math?
Mute Math. Mute Math? Anybody? No Mute
Math. Mute Math?
Yeah.
Is that a form of meth?
Mute Math, like mathematics. Mute Math.
Okay, I guess I wasn't there.
It was at the Majestic.
Okay. Can we hear one more little scream? Can you do it? Okay, thank you. I don't get many of those, so it's... All right. Mute Math. What would it take for you to wish my husband happy birthday? I don't know. What do you got, Paula? What'd you bring with you? Paula Land from Cedar Rapids. We were just down there. So that's good enough for me, just the fact that you're from Cedar Rapids. And hi, how you doing?
Good.
You. Thank you for standing. Very nice.
Yeah.
Not everyone will do that.
No, I'm a polite guy.
You are very polite. I like that. Just when you thought all politeness was dead. Hi, Paula.
Hi.
Which one is he?
He's right here.
Oh, here he is. Let's wish him a happy birthday. Get up there. What's your name then? Dana?
Yeah.
Come on, Dana. I wish you a happy birthday. Should we sing? I don't know. No, singing is going too far. Singing, I need a cash payment, but we'll wish you a happy birthday. How many is it then, Dana?
51.
50? Oh, my God. Turning point.
Yeah, I'm feeling it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you look good 51. You look like day over 50.
Excellent.
You're in good shape and stuff. And are you guys celebrating? What's on tap here now?
Just checking out with Madison.
Checking out with Madison?
The whole town.
Madison thing?
You bet.
Okay. All for you.
Enjoying some Oktoberfest, too.
The beer or the...
Indeed.
Or the time of year.
Yeah.
Well, happy birthday to you. What do we have for Dana on his birthday? We have a little something for you, Dana.
If you're just visiting, maybe the best choice is our classic Smell Our Derriere t-shirt from Wisconsin Public Radio.
Smell Our Derriere, yes.
Thank you.
There you go. That's from Pie Lamb. That's a little Pie Lamb t-shirt. All right. Thank you. Standing up again. Now everyone's standing up. You started a trend. Look at this.
It's contagious.
Only he stood up because I have to kind of squeeze crab-like through these rows. And now you stood up and now you stood up. It's infectious. Politeness is infectious.
Well, I'm a big guy. I thought I'd give you room.
Yeah, but I mean, it spreads. This guy's from Illinois, and he's standing up.
Exactly.
First time a guy from Illinois has ever been polite. This is so exciting. No, I know that. If you're not from Chicago, they're very nice in Illinois, actually.
Well, I'm from a suburb of Chicago.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
It gets you outside of town.
Right.
Here for the game, feeling good about it? You guys bring a team this year?
Yeah. Yes, we did. Yeah. We're just not sure they're a Big Ten team yet.
Okay. Well,
we're hoping.
Start maybe in a smaller league and then move your way up.
Right.
And you are?
My name's Alan.
Thanks for coming, Alan. I can't say good luck to you, but thanks for being here. Hello, thank you.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you for starting all this standing up business. Thank you for standing up for my show. Okay. How are we doing time-wise? Got a few yet?
Yeah, we got a couple minutes.
Okay. Oh, that was you. I thought it was coming out of Jeff. Isn't that funny? You were talking, and I thought it was coming out of Jeff. I thought, my God. Transformation. Max Golden, freshman at West. The school, my kids went to West. We always honor freshmen from West High School with their comments, their take on the news of the day. Max, we'll get you to stand up for just a second. You are a freshman just starting. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah, how's it going so far? How's the first year?
Easy.
You don't get dumped in trash cans anymore, do you, when you're freshman?
Only once.
You got to go through it.
Yeah.
We all did. You know, we crawl out eventually. And what is your comment or your point of view that you want to state now?
I was thinking, is it true that the replacement refs were hired by the Obama team to help him prepare for his debate?
All right, well, there you go. But you still got your sophomore year to look forward to. And that'll be good. Yeah, Jim Lehrer actually now is working in the lingerie league. Okay, hey, this is pretty cool. Sarah Cook can say the alphabet backwards faster than anyone here. Okay, quite a thing to brag about, but here you go. Sarah Cook, where are you, Sarah Cook? Oh, you're way in back there, Sarah Cook. Okay. How many of you actually want to hear the alphabet backwards? Well, it's a public radio crowd. They'll listen to anything, I guess. What can I tell you? Sarah Cook, she's a Minnesota orchestra you work for, huh? Yeah. Oh, there you are. Can I get you to stand up here now? When did you first discover you had this ability?
My dad taught me to say the alphabet backwards when I was three.
When you were three? Yeah. You've been saying it ever since. And you're the dad in question?
Yes, I am.
What was your thinking in doing that in the first place?
Well, we were sitting around the dinner table. She had an alphabet shirt on, and I said she was always interested in being like her big brothers. I said, well, they know the alphabet. When you go to school, you can tell the teachers you know the alphabet forwards and backwards. So we taught it.
Do you want it to be able to be understood? Z Y X W V U T S R Q P O N M L K J I H G F E D C B A. Or faster.
And has it made the difference in your life that your dad thought it would for you?
Oh, absolutely.
It's open doors?
Yes, yes.
Job interviews?
Scored my first job out of school 2 weeks ago.
And did you use the alphabet?
Unfortunately, no, but I could try it next week and see if it gives me a promotion.
Thank you, dear, very much. Okay, there you have it. We got it all here on What Do You Know, which we can't do backwards. All right. We're going to play a round of the What Do You Know quiz because we thought that would be nice if you had a chance to try that since it is a quiz show. And let's see now, before we can actually do the quiz, we have to know who can and cannot participate in said quiz. That's your cue. That's right, the four disclaimers, and with them today is...
Isaac.
Yes.
Vedder.
Did you use the one name?
Isaac Vedder.
Isaac Vedder. Isaac, and if you want to pull that and just do it.
All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Goes to show you, you should never underestimate Mormon forensics. It's required. Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. All opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
You've done this before. Oh, here, you can have that, since I have no money to give you. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to try them at the quiz. Let's see some interest here, people. Quiz interest. Who wants to do it? You can applaud all you want. I want to see a hand go up here. Who wants to play the quiz? Be on it. Who wants to... What? Where?
Who?
Somebody, no one here wants to play the quiz on a quiz show? Why do you come to a quiz show if you don't want to... Yes? Okay. Okay, we got a winner here. Come over to the aisle. I'll meet you halfway. I don't understand it. Why would people come to a quiz show when they don't want to be on the quiz?
Exactly.
You would think they'd be coming here dressed up as fruits and vegetables. And so, and you are?
I'm Jennifer Forsyth.
Jennifer Forsyth. And are you from around here, Jennifer?
I'm from St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, yes, St. Louis. Wonderful. St. Louis. We applaud all cities, towns, townships, principalities. Jennifer, one good reason you should play the quiz.
I flunked. I don't have a good reason.
Well, you got up, so let's take you anyway. Come on. You're the only volunteer. How about that for a reason? Yes. Jennifer, walk this way. Right up those steps onto the What Do You Know stage. You're at Monona Terrace. And may you have a seat there if you would. Make yourself comfortable. I got another water down here. We make our own water here, so. On store. All right, Jennifer, what do you do in life as we know it?
I am an attorney for a health insurance company.
Oh. Well, that's got to be a fun job.
I heard some booing. It doesn't make me evil.
No, it doesn't. It makes you working, which is a good thing.
That's right. I am working very hard.
Yeah. Are you from St. Louis originally? Or?
I'm not. I'm from Iowa originally.
You are. Well, how did you find St. Louis?
I got a job and moved where the job was.
Yeah. And were you trained in this field or that you're now working? Did you have training in the field and then look for a job within your field?
Or? Yes. I went to law school at the University of Iowa.
With the intention of
Big
working?
Big Ten girl. Yes, yes. With the intention of working. Yes.
Yeah. It's unusual. And that worked out for you pretty good.
So far, so good.
Excellent. A family person?
Yes, I have three children.
You
and
do?
A husband.
Three children and a husband.
And a husband.
Well, that's very foresightful of you, I must say. And are they here? I don't know. Do we?
No, I'm visiting friends.
You are?
Yeah. Visiting a Madison friend, and then also a friend came from Atlanta, Georgia. So the three of us are together.
Oh, yes. Okay. Because you all thought your towns were special, I remember.
We did.
You shouted out.
And Akron was more special. Right?
Have you been to Akron?
I have not.
Well, then you don't know. Jennifer, great to have you here.
You're
familiar with the quiz. It's a general knowledge quiz, not so much trivia.
I actually am not familiar
with
the
you're
quiz.
Not? Okay.
Maybe if I was, I wouldn't have volunteered.
Yeah, John, can you explain to her the fundamentals of the...
Yeah, he has a really stupid question, and you give a, kind of a dumb answer, and then you get some like really cheap stuff, and it's great.
I got to ask you never again, I think, to explain the quiz.
Is it multiple choice?
It's all true, but it's unfortunate stated that way.
Some of it is multiple choice.
Some of it is multiple
choice. Some of it is multiple choice.
All right. Yeah.
Very insightful questions. So
right. And you can hardly lose because I usually give away the answer. So really, there's no harm, no foul.
All right.
And someone out there will play along with you by simply answering a qualifying question. Now, how do they do that, Sarah?
Save your mobile phone minutes. This is an encore of What Do You Know? No need to call now.
All right, out of 10 people, how many have the PIN number 1234? Out of 10 people, we need to hit this right on the head, Sarah, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable.
Yeah, out of 10 people, how many have the PIN number 1234? If you don't give us a call here at that number, that there are people are on the line already, so they didn't listen, did they? They have no idea what's coming up. Hi, Phil.
Hi. Hi.
Hi. Are you talking to someone else, Phil? Am I interrupting?
No, you just caught me by surprise. I was listening to the show, and I didn't know you were going to answer so quick.
Yeah. Well, this is the Phil from Jackson, Ohio, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Do you know you called before we asked the question, though, Phil?
Well, I know, but I think if I waited for the question, I still wouldn't have a better idea about the answer.
Okay. Do you know the question now, or?
Yes. How many people have the PIN 1234?
All right. Out of 10.
I'll guess four.
No, that's high, Phil.
Okay, sorry. Good talking to you.
All right, nice talking to you. Sorry. Okay.
Bye.
You seem like a nice guy. Worthy of applause? I don't know. Debatable. George is from Kansas City. Hey, George.
Hey, Michael.
How's it going?
Okay.
Yeah?
Kind of chilly here today.
Yeah, are you outside now?
No, I'm inside.
Oh, it shouldn't be so chilly inside. You got to turn up the heat, George.
Well, yeah, I got it up.
You got it up. Hate to turn it on the first time of the year, you know?
Well, that's right.
Yeah. You got gas or you got oil?
Gas.
Yeah. Better than oil.
Well, yeah, I know.
Well, clean the filters every year or not?
No, several times a year.
Several times a year. Don't you think it's too much? Filter cleaning is also a bad thing?
No, I got three cats and two dogs, so
yeah.
One.
Why don't you just
clean filters all the time?
Just clean them. You don't have to clean the filters. But I'm just thinking out loud here. All right, well, George, out of 10 people, how many's PIN number is 1234?
I'm gonna say 2.
You're so close, George.
One?
Well, I kind of like you because you change your filters a lot. That's a special guy. So I'm going to give it to you, George, because on second thought, you found the right answer. That's right. We'll say one because it's a fact. I don't know, George, or just something about you. When I heard you change your filters so much, I thought, well, this guy deserves a little credit. So, yeah, 1 out of 10. And in case you're wondering, it's somewhat interesting, maybe not. That's like almost 11% of all pins are 1234. The number 2 in pins is 1111, right? That's mine. So number 3 is 000, which is my old one. I changed it, though, because it was too obvious.
So if I find your bank card, I can just...
Pretty much. Number 4, 1212. I had that for a while, but I thought, you know, that's kind of stupid. And number 57777. So you should undoubtedly, everyone has one of these, right? Pretty much? Okay. Well, what's your PIN then, if it's not that? George, what do you do out there in Kansas City?
I'm an artist / illustrator.
You're slashing an illustrator as an artist?
Well, I do some fine art painting, and I do some humorous illustration.
Oh, yeah. You illustrate things for books or for newspapers or magazines?
Yeah, I've done, you know, greeting cards, books, things like that.
How cool.
Yeah.
Do you have a trademark sort of illustration or a style?
When one speaks of
a George illustration.
It's just my own style. I don't know. There's no particular name for it.
Oh, anything.
Humorous illustrations.
Yeah. Oh, they're humorous.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. George, this is Jennifer.
Hi, George.
Oh, hi, Jennifer.
Fellow Missourian, unless he's in Kansas City, Kansas.
No one's in Kansas.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm in Kansas City, Missouri.
Yeah, they're all Missouri, right? I think, pretty much. Otherwise, they call it, you know, something else entirely. George and Jennifer, you work as a team here, okay?
Okay.
So there's no competition. We work as a team here, a brain trust, as it were. And is there a bird or something in the background there, George?
No. Oh. No, it's here.
Okay.
Three cats, though.
And how do they do this? Now, what are the categories they have to choose from?
The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
I hear something chirping.
Maybe it's feedback.
Yeah. Is that you chirping, George?
No.
Okay. All right. George, you pick first category. What would you like?
Science.
Science it is.
All right. George, yeah, George is on his own here, maybe.
Okay. Men with shaved heads. Is the question. No, that's not the question. Men with shaved heads are perceived as being able to bench press more than men who don't have shaved heads. We want to know by how much more are they perceived to bench press. Is it 3%, 7%, or 13%? People estimate they can bench press that much more simply by having a shaved head.
Do we consult?
Talk, yes, talk over. Yeah, yes. Well, you and George.
I'd say 13, George.
Oh.
What 13? Do you think?
Well, that sounds good to me. I mean, it's just a guess, but...
Do you have a shaved head by any chance, George?
No, I don't. I'm afraid not.
Okay.
You picked science, though, so you can you can make the final call.
13% is what you said, right? He agreed? That's right. 13%.
Yeah.
All right. We're off on a good start right here.
Categories left? Would you like
to hear? No, what was the score?
Oh, it's one right and
zero
track. Wrong.
Oh, excellent. What's left there, sir?
We have current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, and odds and ends.
Okay. What would you like, Jennifer?
I'd like current events.
Current events, right out of the news, maybe not. Yes, the latest mental disorder. If you want to get a new one, here it is. The latest mental health disorder is IUD, which, of course, refers to what? What is IUD? The mental disorder, not the device.
Well,
I could have done that one.
Yeah.
I think the last letter is going to be...
disorder, yeah.
Disorder,
yeah.
Sure.
You got that, okay.
I mean, if it's recent, would it have something to do with technology or... I don't know, do you have any idea?
Internet use disorder? I don't know.
Yeah,
whoa!
Yeah.
You nailed it, George! You nailed it, man! That's it! Addictive. It's an addictive behavior.
Good job.
Internet use disorder. Groovy.
Yeah, a lot of people have that.
Yeah.
They now have two right and zero wrong.
Very good. What remains?
What remains? People, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, or odds and ends.
Okay, George, what do you think?
Try odds and ends.
Odds and ends. All right. Are you painting right now, George?
No, I was sort of halfway through my breakfast here.
Oh, what do you... That's what I heard, I guess. I think you're still eating it.
No, I'm not eating now.
No. What do you have for breakfast, George?
I guess you call it a berries and things mixed up in a blender. Fruit and mixed up
smoothie,
in a blender.
Smoothie.
You guess you'd call it berries? What else would you call it, George?
I don't know.
Yeah, you make it like a smoothie, a blender.
We call it swill over here.
Swill. Are you on a swill regimen or something? Are you taking swill for health reasons?
Yeah, every morning.
Okay. What do you do for lunch then?
I don't know. Salad.
Okay.
Sandwich, whatever.
Yeah. Do you eat anything at all in the course of the day or just this? I'm a little worried about you now, Jerry. All right. Here's this odds and... Did you say odds and ends, right?
Yeah.
Okay. This it smells like a... seared steak, hot metal, or welding fumes. The question is, what does? Is it Nicki Minaj's scent, her new scent? Space, as an outer. Or C, I don't know, but I smelled it the minute I walked in here.
What was the first one?
Nicki Minaj's new scent.
We can't get a right answer for C, right? It's got to be B, doesn't it?
You would think. George?
I have no idea who. You say Vicky or Nicki Minaj?
Yeah, Nicki
you don't
Nicki
know
Minaj.
Nicki Minaj, yeah.
Yeah, she's a judge on American Idol that just beat up Mariah Carey.
I don't know. I don't watch TV, so yeah. I have no idea.
No. You're too busy with your swill.
I would go with Outer Space.
Yeah, me too.
Yes, the smell of space. That's right, exactly. Smells like a seared steak, hot metal, or welding fumes, according to astronauts who come in from space and smell something funny they brought in with them. And, well, they could quit, couldn't they, Sarah?
Well, they could, and they would have
because
won.
Because they've won, yeah.
Yes, or they can go on for the mother load.
Yeah. What's involved there?
You have to get two more questions right.
Mm-hmm. Out of how many?
Out of... two more.
Out of three?
That was a trick question.
I know. It's not a lousy up there. All right, so that's, you know, you could quit. You go home with some relatively unimportant prizes. Or you could go for the giant kielbasa, the cornucopia.
And a free car.
The whole deal.
I think we're going.
And any car you can pick out of the ramp here and drive on.
We're going.
They're going for it. They're going for it. Jump! They'll jump response. What's left there?
They have people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention. Uh-huh. That's it.
Okay.
All right, let's do people.
People, these are kind of survey results. Double texting, abbreviations, or bad spelling. Which is the biggest turnoff for the after-date text receiver? Now, this is the first text you get after you've gone on a date from the other person. There's one of these things that really annoys a person receiving it. Is it the double texting, where they texted you twice without getting an answer from the first one? Abbreviations or bad spelling? What really turns off the receiver?
I'm going to guess double texting.
You know, that depends how the first date went, I would think. But I guess you would have texted back. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can go with that.
Double texting. Don't do it. And wait, you got to wait for a while, too. I don't know really the... I think there's a waiting period, too, before you actually... I'm not involved in this anymore, but is that true, Sarah? Is there?
I think a waiting period is recommended.
Yes.
How long?
How long?
24 hours, I'd say.
Oh, okay, only a day or so.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that would be...
We have now four right and zero wrong.
Okay.
And you guys are one answer away from
another. And what's left there?
Places or things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention.
George?
How about things you should have learned in school?
Okay. You're not still dating, are you, George?
No, I'm married.
That's what I said. You're not still dating, are you? That gets in the way of it, you know, because you can read your text and all that. All right, complete this thought. O Romeo, Romeo.
Wherefore art thou, Romeo?
Go along with that, George?
Oh, yeah.
That's it, yes. 49% of adults cannot do that. So that's very extraordinary. Congratulations, you won it all. What have they won, Sarah?
So much. Jennifer, you can fill your home with a mix of mandarin lily, cashmere, musk, woodsy notes, and jasmine, all contained in a bottle of Garden Breeze Aroma Decor Diffuser Oil from Greenleaf. And then cook up a fragrant storm using Home Economics Centennial Cookbook, a celebration of 100 years of dynamic change, edited by Heather Lipinski and Joan DeGuire North from the College of Professional Studies at UW-Stevens Point. Find out what's so funny up in Alaska with Anchorage columnist Tom Brennan's Moose Droppings and Other Crimes Against Nature from Epicenter Press, and continue building a faster brain and a better you with Daniel Coyle's The Little Book of Talent, 52 Tips for Improving Your Skills from Bantam Books. George, you can wake up every day to the full mild blend designed to be lively and satisfying in Steep and Brew's breakfast blend, and sail through the afternoon with rich Costa Rican terrazzo from Madison's Steep and Brew coffee. That's coffee done right. Then wallow in the mellow retro sounds of the Northwoods with the CD Wild Woods and Waters from the Blue Canvas Orchestra and Big Top Chautauqua. Recall the awkward years of the Bush administration with a tin of National Embarrassments from the Unemployed Philosophers Guild. Entertain in the manner of the 47% playing What Do You Know the Party Game, including clever contestants, enthusiastic audiences, cards, and questions, along with the campaign-proof Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations to you.
Whoa.
Thank you very much.
Enough. Thank you very much, Jennifer. Hang on, George. Make sure you get that before you get back to your show.
Okay.
Thanks, man.
Wish you could laugh with Michael every day? You can. Follow Michael on Twitter. His handle's @MyFeldman. Or come join the fun at the What Do You Know Facebook page.
We'll be back live at Monona Terrace in Madison starting September 14th. For a full schedule and ticket information, click over to notmuch.com or call 608-262-2201. And for all you Mississippi What Do You Know fans out there, we'll be in Oxford at the beautiful Ford Center on Saturday, September 28th. For ticket information, call 662-915-7411 or follow the links on notmuch.com. Coming up in the next hour of What Do You Know, Michael fills in for the Car Talk guys with his You Oughta Know call-in, plus another edition of the What Do You Know quiz. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. This is PRI, Public Radio International. Welcome back to an encore presentation of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, Michael puts on his coveralls for a You Oughta Know call-in, plus another hilarious round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now the man who says without Obamacare, he don't get no care at all. It's Michael Feldman.
Says what? No, I'm just saying Obamacare. I'm glad somebody cares. That's all I'm saying. That was my only point. It was offhanded. Well, you know, each week we read actual memos sent in by actual listeners so that actual listeners shall not perish from the earth, as we know it. That's right. Thanks for the memos. We got, there's this one here. Let's start with this anyway. This is dress code policies. I'd say maybe 10,000 of these are stuffing my cabinets back home on dress code policy, because some places have them. Most places have them, I guess. Well, you know, there's a casual Fridays thing, which really upset a lot of dress code policies, because on one day of the week, you could dress badly. I do it every day, but I'm, you know, I'm on radio. You don't see me, so. This one goes something like this, to all employees. There have been some questions about the meaning of capri pants under the dress code policy. Capri pants, slacks, or trousers that fall at the mid-calf to above the ankle are permitted under the standard for business casual attire. Bermuda shorts or other pants that are shorter than mid-calf are inappropriate attire under this policy. This clarification is in keeping with the overall purpose of the policy to create a positive and dignified work environment and to present a professional image to our clients, adversaries, and the public. Thanks, signed, your administrator. Okay, so there's that. Oh, you don't have to applaud. That's okay. No, really, you don't. Okay, I got more for you here. This is... you know when these coupons you get all the time, you know, and you try and turn them in or something? Do you ever wonder about, you know, those people in that address, which is usually in Nebraska somewhere, so, isn't it? Nebraska, where you send all those coupon offers and stuff? I don't know. It seems to always be Nebraska. Not sure about it. I got to find out about that. How they actually react, you know, the guy opening your coupon response actually feels about the person sending it in. And this kind of makes it crystal clear how they regard us and our coupons. It's a place that here, is for our purposes, is called despair.com. And here's how it goes. All employees at this particular coupon answering service, whatever it is, or rendering service, to those, it begins UGH, actually, UGH, but I don't know how to say that. To those somehow confused by the impossibly simple, we tried, we really did, we picked a 30% off coupon code we thought was super simple. No overlong phrases, no tricky spelling or weird characters, and yet somehow we still ended up getting a lot of complaints on the your coupon code doesn't work variety. And these are quotes now. I tried 30 rocks and it doesn't work. Is this some kind of joke? Why doesn't my code 30ROCK give me the discount you promised? You despair people really take the cake. I tried 30 rocks over and over, and it didn't work. How much easier can we make it, people? The code was 30 rocks, not any other variation some of you inexplicably and unsuccessfully kept trying to use. No numeric characters, no spaces, no quotes. Listen, Jim D. of Miami, Carol W. of Pershing, Indiana, if that's even a real place. And several others who wrote us angrily over the weekend to complain, though I hate to come right out and say it, I need you to do a better job of following instructions in order for this relationship to work. Why do I hate to say it? Well, the last time I did, I had to duck right after because she threw a flower pot at my head. If only people understood how much easier life would be for us all if they just did what I said. Anyway, if you're one of those people who missed out because you can't read, I have a consolation prize for you. I have created a new coupon code. It expires tomorrow at midnight. It still lets you get the 30% discount you got cheated out of, Annie S., Lake Placid, New York. There's just one downside. By using it, you're making a confession to us. Your new coupon code is I am dumb. No quotes, no space, no capital letters. Just type I am dumb when you check out, and you'll get 30% off T-shirts, posters, calendars, note card packs, pessimist mugs, glasses, shot glasses, ceramic mugs, points of view glasses, and everything else we sell. Yeah, I know it's kind of insulting, but hey, I'm still cutting you a break because, hey, you're dumb. That's all for today. I've done my good deed. I still love you. I promise we'll get through this. Thank you very much for that memo. The coupon people, they hate us. They mock us. They mock us while fulfilling our coupons. Where can they send those memos and such, Sarah?
Well, if people have such fantastic memos, they can send them to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, subject line memos, or go to notmuch.com and post it there.
And if they just want to write us about anything else on their mind, can they do it the same way?
They can do it the same way. They can also put something on the mail in the mail if they want to.
In the snail mail?
Yeah, old school.
No kidding.
Yeah.
How do you do that? You write it on what? Papyrus or something?
Yeah, you have to press the papyrus yourself, I think, yeah.
Yeah. Well, what's the mailing address?
Oh, the mailing address. Oh, yeah. That's 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Care of What Do You Know? Thanks for the memos.
Okay. Or whatever else, just thanks or just What Do You Know?
Yeah.
If it's not a memo, that too.
Yeah.
Coupons?
We take coupons.
Coupon fulfillment?
We take coupons.
We do it all.
Yeah.
Well, you hear that? Oh, yes, you do.
Story of the hot rod race when the Ford and the Mercury was setting the pace. That story's true, I'm here to say, because I was a driving that Model A.
That's right, that's the theme for our new segment on What Do You Know? It's called You Ought to Know. You Ought to Know. That's right, we're very excited about it. Because, you know, Click and Clack are retired now, and there's been a big gap in people who are still having car problems, cannot write in or call in and get help for them. We're going to fill that void with You Ought to Know. And my helper is here. Yes, come up, Jill. Pre-selected from our audience. Help me with this because you need two people. That's pretty clear. And here's the Complete Idiot's Guide that you'll be using, Jill.
Thank you. Thank you
so much. And we'll take your auto questions starting now. And just my own background in autos, pretty good with Chevy products up to about 1961. Well, Dad had the 283 V8, and I'm pretty familiar with it. And it wasn't me who put the carburetor on backwards, you know. But that was Ralph Lorch across the street in the standard station, you know. So I'm not responsible for that. So I'm pretty familiar with them. I had the Idiot's Guide to a VW, which I blew up as a result. But I learned from it. So we can cover most areas, most cars. What number should they call to get auto advice? You Ought to Know.
You Ought to Know. They should call 1-800-942-5669.
Yeah.
That's 1-800-WA-KNOW or 1-800-WACK-NOW.
Yes, You Ought to Know is underway right now. And Jill, what are you driving right now?
Chevy Silverado.
Silverado, cool. We can cover that too then. And good luck with the Silverado.
Thank you.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Yeah, I have.
Have you lined your bed? And therefore sleep in it?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
No.
You don't have a bed liner in there?
No.
No.
No, just what it came with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What are you putting back there?
Four-wheeler. I'm a big hunter.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. I have my four-wheeler in there.
Your four-wheeler's
in. Hunting, yeah.
Okay. Okay. So we got a lot to talk about then. Four-wheelers, Silverados. So we're covered all here. 61 Chevy Impalas. And, okay, we're going right now. We got the calls are coming in. This is You Ought to Know, and all your car needs, questions, or comments right here on You Ought to Know. And Lynn's on the line from Inman, South Carolina. Lynn, what can we do for you on You Ought to Know?
Good morning, Michael. So a new segment for you this morning.
Yes, huh? It is. Lynn, what can we do for you? Car problems?
I have a car problem.
Okay.
My battery cable keeps corroding.
Okay,
is it my garage or
battery cable?
What can I do about that?
Probably under batteries. Batteries, ignition batteries.
Batteries.
Yeah. Okay. Now you say your battery cable is corroding.
Yes, it keeps corroding. What can I do about it?
Have you checked the cables?
I've checked them.
Okay. Have you tried cleaning them off with a little pumice stone?
No. Somebody told me to pour Coca-Cola on them.
Oh. Try that. I would start with Coca-Cola. Obviously, the first thing you do is Coca-Cola, and then once you got them good and cleaned off, and your nail file maybe would work pretty good. Do that, and then put it back on there so it's all nice and clean. And then I would put a nice coat of Vaseline on them because that works on just about everything. I found. Jill, have you found that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Vaseline. Yeah.
Yeah.
You find anything on battery? Ignition?
No.
No, okay. Keep looking for that. So try that and then call us back if it doesn't work.
I will.
Or if it does. Thanks, Lynn.
I will. Can I just put Vaseline on it and not clean it off? That sounds like a lot of trouble.
Well, then you're preserving the corrosion as opposed to preserving the clean. So there's that thing. It's your choice, of course. It's your car.
Okay. Well, thanks for the advice, Michael.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'll let you know how it works.
And You Ought to Know. Okay, thanks. It's going good already. Did you find it?
Yeah, I found it.
Okay. Jill, what do they recommend in the Idiot's Guide?
Well, they just tell you what a battery is, pretty much.
Anything about the cables in there?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Those are the things attached to the battery. Those things coming out of it. Anything about that?
No.
Okay, well, we're past it.
Yeah, okay. Right. Moving on.
Let's go to Jane is in Metamora. Illinois. When the Swallows that's come right. back to Metamora.
That's right, Metamora.
How are you, Jane?
I don't have a question.
Oh.
I just have an idea.
Okay.
That you are replacing Click and Clack.
Uh huh.
And I think you ought to maybe be starting to be known as Cluck and Quack.
Okay. Thanks, Jane.
Bye.
We'll get back. You'll see that.
Love your show. Bye.
The legalistics behind that. We'll have to check that out. That was very helpful. Alex is on the line from Columbus, Ohio. The number once again, Sarah, they can call for all their auto questions on You Ought to Know.
The number to call is 1-800-WA-KNOW or 1-800-WACK-NOW.
And do we do diesel? Do we?
No.
Yes.
We run on domestic coal, don't we? Oh, nobody got it. I tried.
Alex, hi. How are you?
Hello, Michael. Thank you for continuing this vital service to the public radio audience.
Yeah.
I have a Subaru.
Subaru, okay.
And nobody can figure out how to turn off the parking lights.
Parking lights and a Subaru. I think we have something for you. John has something. John has a Subaru.
I had a Subaru, and for years I couldn't turn the lights off or anything. Oh, then I realized when you're stopped, if you pull the parking brake, put the parking brake on, the lights go off.
No, this is a long-standing joke among Subaru owners. There's a little toggle switch on top of the steering column. And
so you knew the answer, Alex.
Forward and turn on the lights when you're cleaning the column.
And there's a little toggle switch on top of the steering column.
Yeah, we get new members on the board all the time. They're like, I can't turn off my parking lights.
Well, you knew the answer all along, didn't you, Alex? And you called up despite that, wasting our valuable time here on You Ought to Know, trying to help people in real.
Thank you.
I think that was Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, yeah, it could have been.
Yeah.
Sound like him, didn't it? Camille is in Tallahassee. Camille, what can we do for you on You Ought to Know?
Hi, guys. I have a 2012 Audi A5 that I need to get into, but it's got a car alarm, and I don't know how to foil it so I can drive away.
You cannot enter your A5?
No, it's somebody else's.
Well, maybe you're not supposed to be entering it then. I mean, do you have permission to enter it in the first place?
I really like it.
Okay. So let's call it what it is. And you're trying to break into a 2012 Audi A5.
No, I'm just breaking in is just such a negative thing.
All right. Entering, as you put it then, trying to enter it.
Yes.
Okay.
Replace my current car.
Okay. Jill, anything in there? I'm breaking into an Audi A5 or anything out of enter car?
No.
Does the thing with the
toggle switch?
The toggle switch on the post. There must be a way of. We'll get back to you on this one.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. Get right back to you.
Hi to the chat group. Bye. Yeah,
bye. Okay. Alex is in Columbus, Ohio. Alex, car problems for you?
Hi,
I don't know.
How are you?
I'm good.
So basically, I have this 95 Honda Civic.
Honda Civic.
It's a 95, and I've had it for some years now.
Okay.
And I've taken out the thermostat, and the damn thing just keeps on overheating time and time again. And
why did you take it out, Alex? I mean, Dusty?
Well, I've taken it out.
I mean, Alex?
Yeah. I've basically just taken not everything out, but everything that has to do with overheating. You know, I put in a new thermostat, and then it would keep on overheating. So I've done all these things, and now I have the coolant at a constant flow.
Uh-huh.
And that's done something for some while, but now it's just constantly overheating, so I don't know what to do.
Yeah. Have you thought of getting rid of it? It's obviously a pile of junk, number one. It's 95. It's served its purpose.
Yeah, I tell you what. I got it 3 years ago, and it only had 60,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
And somebody had babied it and loved it and cared on it, and now it's turned over to me, and I beat the thing to schnitz.
I heard schnitz. I don't know what you heard. I heard schnitz.
Shit was on there, yes. I get a new one.
I heard schnitz. I don't know what you heard. I heard schnitz.
Shit was on there, yes.
Joe, anything in the book there on overheating?
Well,
it says oil is needed to help cool the engine and keep all the moving parts lubricated.
Have you thought
of
oil? Have you thought of putting oil in it?
I just changed my oil and transmission fluid.
Okay. What about cooling? Yeah, John, you have something.
Obviously, he needs to move to Canada. It's much cooler up there. And you won't have a problem.
Towards the Arctic.
Yeah. North.
We had something here on the cooling system. So Jill, what do you recommend?
Engine coolant is circulated through channels in the engine block and cylinder. You need to check that.
Ever thought of that?
I'll check that.
Are you using a coolant? See, because as the name implies, that would tend to cool your engine.
Yes, I am.
Do you have? Is it? When did you change your coolant last?
Probably about a week ago, when I actually changed the oil and transmission fluid with it. Mm-hmm.
Did you put the thermostat back in after you took it out?
I did, yeah.
Did you change it or just put it back in?
I took the old one out, put a new one in, and then once I had taken out the new one, that didn't work, so I put the new one back in and just left it in. So.
Okay, why don't you put the old one back in and see if it continues to bother you?
Yeah, I'll check that out. Good idea.
Okay, thanks. And call us again. It's going really good, Joe.
Yeah, I think so.
Good job. We got most of these things covered. Dusty's on the line from Joplin, Missouri. Hey, Dusty.
Howdy. How's it going, Michael?
Pretty good. What are you driving, Dusty?
Well, actually, I just thought I would give you a hand. I'm a car mechanic.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. And so I thought if there was any questions, like the last guy, Alex, there.
Yeah.
Chances are on these late model cars,
yes,
when you change the thermostat and change the coolant and what have you,
mm-hmm,
you've got to park them with the nose up and the radiator cap off. And actually run the heater and the whole nine yards to bleed the system. He's probably got an air bubble in it.
Oh, I thought you were kidding. You got to do that with the nose up, you say?
Yeah, you park it on an incline.
Whose nose up, yours or the car?
Yes.
You park it on an incline with the nose up?
Yeah.
Oh, this is very good.
And then you let it bleed and
let it bleed, like the stone.
He's got an air bubble in it, and that's what's causing it to get hot. The air bubble will go right to the coolant temperature sensor, and it will screw everything up.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I figured, too. But I didn't, you know, I didn't know the part, I got to admit, about putting your nose up to do that. Thanks a lot, Dusty.
But no, I just wondered if you needed any advice on your cars.
No. Mine's still under warranty.
I'll take her back to the dealership.
I finally got a good one after all these years, you know, and I never touch it now, and it works perfectly. If you don't, The main problem people have, I think, is actually trying to work on their cars.
It takes a little doing.
Yeah.
I
just had to suck a couple of valves after fine-tuning a car that I had to realize that this is not my line of work. So, but giving advice is, so that it works out. Yeah.
Well, if you want to leave me on the line and take the next question.
Can we do that? Can we? Is there some? I don't know how to do that. Can we leave him on the line? Leave Dusty on the line in case something comes up where we actually need somebody who knows what they're talking about. Yeah? Is he on the line now?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay. All right. Don't go anywhere.
Cool.
John's in Little Rock right now. Hey, John.
How we doing, Michael?
Pretty good. What's plaguing you?
Yeah, so I've got a 2007 Suburban, and I've got this smell that I can't get rid of. It's coming from the back where the kids are sitting, so I was wondering.
That smell? Smell from where the kids are sitting? Anything in there on kids?
Get rid of the kids.
Yeah, get rid of the kids. Okay.
I was wondering if a hose would do the trick or something.
Yeah. High pressure, a lot of force probably take for some of those kids.
Do them like they do in county lockups, open hose, right?
Yeah, open hose, pretty much.
There we go. All right, thanks for the advice.
Yeah, you're welcome. What's that number again? I know we got more calls out there trying to get in.
The number is 1-800-942-5669. That's 1-800-WA-NO or 1-800-WAC-NOW.
Anything in your Silverado that you want to mention to people, that something you've learned about your Silverado?
Mm.
You ever park it nose up and just let it burp?
Yeah. You got to do that sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah,
that helps.
Have you done it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, what about you? Got a four-wheeler, too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much fun, huh?
Oh, yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. Where do you take that out, then?
Out to, the woods and look, hunt for deer.
Can you hunt while moving?
Well,
that'd be a challenge. Could you mount something on there? Like, I'm not saying a machine gun, that's probably illegal, but even a single shot mounted on the handlebar.
That would be ideal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be ideal.
Yeah. We usually eat a tree stand, but that's a good idea.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll have to bring that up to my husband.
Well, you could attack a tree stand with one of those. That'd be the beauty. take over a tree stand.
Right,
that'd
right.
Kinda,
that would be fun.
Yeah.
Huh, yeah.
Excellent. Dan's from Kentucky, and he's got a car question. Hi, you're on U Auto. No. Dan.
Hello.
Hey, Dan.
Hi.
What are you driving?
I'm driving a 2001 Star. It's called a Trek. It's an RV.
Oh, an RV.
Yeah, Safari Trek.
Yeah. Can't really help you with an RV, Dan.
You can't?
No, you want to trade it for something more of a passenger vehicle, we could probably help you. But what's your problem? Let's see. Maybe we can.
Well, it's got an 8.1 Chevy motor in it.
Okay.
And when you're traveling along,
like
I am now, at about 70 miles an hour on
the
cruise,
you
get to a hill, it'll start popping.
Popping?
Yeah, it's got a popping sound.
Little blowback?
They call it blowback. You remember how the old cars used to be? You go down the hill and you hear that little rumble?
Yeah.
Well, this is sort of like that, only in reverse.
Yeah. So you're in reverse when you're going down the hill, is what I'm saying.
Feels like it, but you're not.
Yeah. Well, what have you gotten back there? Are you what are you hauling in your RV? Are there people in there? Maybe they're partying back there or something.
I'm by myself.
You're by yourself, and when you go down a hill in your 2001 RV, your Trek, you're hearing a popping.
Yeah. On an uphill grade.
Oh, on uphill grade, you're getting a popping. Can you roll down all the windows and kind of figure out where that popping is coming from?
It feels like or sounds like it's coming from the right front of the motor.
From the motor?
Yeah.
Anything in there, Jill, about motor popping?
There's a hissing sound. Is there hissing sounds?
Let's call it a hissing sound then.
No hissing sound.
No, not hissing sound.
Oh, okay. Shoot. Okay.
No popping sound?
Exhaust noise.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay. That's what I'm thinking, too. What page is it? We're thinking that, too, Dan. We're thinking that's an exhaust problem. And, oh, my God. You all right?
I'm here.
Is that it now?
No.
Is that what you're hearing?
No.
Because that's right out of Star Wars, whatever that is. I think that you're in an alien galaxy somehow. That was a scary... What was that, Dan?
I have no clue.
I think you have much more serious problems than this simple popping from your exhaust. Yeah. There it is again. Oh my God.
I'm getting ready to start up the heel.
Oh. Oh, you're starting up? Oh, good. Now, well, we can listen to this, and we can diagnose it as it occurs.
Yeah, I don't know that you'll hear it or not, but it's there.
Can you lower all your windows? And
no.
Just steer with your knees and hang your phone out the window.
Yeah, I can try that.
Because you're in Kentucky, that's okay. You know, it's allowed in Kentucky.
There's that little poppin' sound right there.
Where? Quiet.
Down there to my right foot. Yeah. Okay, it's gone now.
Yeah. See, I think you're hallucinating, Dan. Well, I think you ought to get off the road, go into a Motel 7, and just kick back for a little bit, and then see if you still hear it afterwards.
I'll check it out.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Glad we could help. That's it today for You Ought to Know, all your auto needs in one place. Thank you, Jill.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. What about Jill? Did she do a great job on all their auto needs? Oh, they're leaving in flocks. They're leaving in droves now. Everyone's going out to park their car uphill with the leave. You have to be somewhere, or? What? Oh, you go to the bathroom together? What a couple. Oh, you're from Akron. That's okay. Never mind. That's the way they do it in Akron. Are you with them, or you're not all going to the bathroom? Well, what's the big hurry? We're right in the middle of a show.
I think
here.
We should go to the bathroom and see what's going on.
I guess they didn't appreciate the auto.
Party in the kitchen, but party in the bathroom.
I never heard of it. Never heard such a thing.
That was a nice segment.
Yeah, it was a good segment. Yeah. I think we're going to have to do it because there is a need, as we say. Crushing need.
I didn't say that, but...
A crushing need.
Yeah. Oh. Yes. Crushing need.
You got rid of that Subaru, though, huh?
No, I still have it.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's got 120-something miles on it. But I finally found out that was...
120 miles on it?
120,000, sorry. Oh, okay. Yeah. 120,000.
Yeah, I'll buy it if it's 120 miles.
No.
Yeah. And so, did it have other quirks?
Well, it was like... We bought it just before the new ones came out, so it was like the last one on the lot, which I would advise people, like, don't buy the last one on the lot. Well, the steering was never quite, you know, it was good. It was pretty good, but it's kind of pulled in one direction. Just a little bit, though.
Yeah.
Enough that, you know, slightly enough that they wouldn't believe me, but enough that, you know, when you're on the road, you would notice it. So.
Did you ever get one where you couldn't unlock the steering and you just had to drive in a straight line?
No. Never had one of those.
Sometimes they leave those on a lot for last, you know. Steering is locked.
It's
good as fun, you know.
Yeah, straight ahead.
As far
good.
As the eye can see, you're in business.
As long as you're in Kansas.
Well, thanks for your help on that. It was very
good.
And we got a little tune here. This was a story behind this song.
I'm not sure.
Are you sure what the song is? Or?
Yeah, it's a Richard Rodgers tune called
Richard Rodgers.
Fallen in Love with Love.
I love Richard Rodgers.
Do you?
He's like my favorite.
Yeah, he writes great songs. Jazz musicians love his tunes.
Beautiful song. Yeah. Beautiful song. All right. John Tullian on the piano. Jeff Hammond on the bass.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Now, that last number, now Falling in Love with Love, I thought was interesting because he actually played the tune. You played the tune on your
amazing?
Bass.
That's nice.
Yes.
So then why do we need a piano player if you're going to do that?
You know, I just quoted the melody to end my solo. That's standard.
Don't give me that double talk that bass players always give you. Yeah. You played the tune on your bass.
I just played the melody.
That's his
job. Let's just hear the whole tune with it.
Should we get rid of
the
him
piano.
And just have you do it all?
Let's
then?
Hear
you
it.
Can, No. We don't want that. We want John.
I mean, that's not commonplace, is it, for a bass player to actually play the tune?
Well, a good bass player, no, it is commonplace, but we haven't had many around here.
You say a good bass player could do it?
Yeah, Jeff does it all the time.
Oh, okay. You're saying he is that.
Yeah,
player.
No,
okay.
All right. That's why I like you.
I thought it was rather unusual.
Thanks, Michael.
For what? I was just saying, okay, it was good, though. Falling in Love with Love was that last number. from Richard Rogers, right? Yeah?
Yes.
Would you say hi to my husband, Andrew, who couldn't be here because he's doing a heart transplant?
Doing one or having?
Just gonna let a little thing like that stop him from coming to a quiz show on public radio? We had to invite our cousin instead. Okay. Angela? Is he doing it, or is he the recipient of it?
No, he's the anesthesiologist.
He's the anesthesiologist. Okay, all right. Well, is he on the phone a lot during the procedure? Because he's got a lot of time on his hands, really. His job is mostly done. Usually not on the phone? Does he Facebook at all during these procedures? No? No, I'm like, okay, I'm just curious. Okay. Yeah, hi, Andrew. No, don't get up. That's okay. Keith from Buffalo, where's Keith from Buffalo? Says, how do you know who won a debate? I think, you know, you see Mitt Romney taking a Tebow. That means he won. You know, okay. All right. Dark socks, your usual look? Brenda. What color socks are you supposed to? Where is Brenda?
Right back there.
She left.
My,
she left. She insults my socks. What color socks are you wearing, John?
Black.
Yeah. What do you got?
Black.
Jeff's
my,
got black.
My, this is total non sequitur, yeah. But my sister's here today. I just wanted to give a shout out to her. And she's with somebody named Brenda,
hi.
But I don't know if that's the same Brenda.
We're talking about my socks, though. Yeah, man. Is something wrong with black socks? Do you understand socks? I never did.
No.
Like, what color socks are you wearing?
White. White.
Okay. Is that your usual look? Huh?
Yeah.
No, that's pretty insulting, though. Your usual dark socks, your usual look, and then she leaves. Now I got to think about this for the rest of the day. What are you supposed to wear? What kind? Does anyone know socks?
Well, you always liked a good Argyle socks, didn't you? Don't you?
I like a nice Argyle.
Yeah.
Nice gold toe. Very nice. Just don't have them anymore. They all fell apart and I never got new ones. All right, I don't think about it. Then there's Charlie Chappell, or Chappelle. I was going to get to that. Charlie Chappell sounds better, though, doesn't it? Charlie Chappell and little... let's see, from Summerfield, North Carolina. Drove here to see your show, but I've never heard your show before. What an act of faith. We have to meet a man who would drive all the way from North Carolina to Wisconsin to see a show he's never heard. What, are you a Congregationalist, or what is your faith, if I might ask?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, how did you get roped into it? What happened?
I don't know.
So
I came here to see my goddaughter and her family, and they gave me a couple of beers last night. And they told me I was going to go see Prairie Home Companion today.
That takes more than two beers to get to complete that illusion.
But the Redskins play tomorrow, and Illinois is going to lose today.
Okay.
So I figured this was about the best I could do. I was beat sleeping in.
Yeah. And do you still not know where you are?
I think I'm in Illinois.
Yeah, it's northern Illinois.
Northern Illinois. Okay.
Well, thanks for coming anyhow, even though you didn't want to or mean to.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
Okay. Right
be here next Saturday.
Yeah. Charlie Chappell, ladies and gentlemen. Isn't that funny? They made him drive here, and they didn't know why he was doing it. Now there's Becky Morgan Cook from Fond du Lac, who is missing a high school reunion in Peterborough, New Hampshire. A 43-year reunion to be here. Figures you'd be in the same row with Charlie Chappell. I guess you'd stand up, Becky Morgan Cook. What's the thinking there? Isn't that a little more important?
Well, I had the tickets for you first.
Yeah.
And then I got
so that's $5 and $5, or what was it?
It was too far to go.
Yeah, so you're living in... You're in
Fond du Lac, yes.
Fond du Lac. You didn't want to go back to New Hampshire.
Well, I'd love to go back,
yeah.
But I haven't been back for about 25 years. So,
yeah. You got to go one of these days, though.
One of these days.
43 years is pushing it.
Well, it's just a shout out to my class okay. Of 69, Peterborough.
Class of 69.
Peterborough High School.
All right. Okay. Next time, maybe. All right. Well,
nice to meet you're here. You. Thank I wish. You.
We have anything for her? How about, you know, making that decision not to go to New Hampshire?
Absolutely. How about the beer bottle charm, Beer Makes Me Smarter, from Say Cheese Designs?
Yes. Wear it to your next reunion. Mark Neiman has an interesting card here. He's from Athens, Wisconsin. Do we have an Athens in Wisconsin? Oh, yeah. Oh, because it's a guy who wears white socks. Because it's his usual look. I wear white socks most of the week, and I dress up for the show. I wear the black ones for the show. I don't see what the big deal is. Why it's even an issue. Do you?
Nope.
White socks absorb a lot of the foot sweat.
I find that to be true.
Yeah, and that's really what you want a sock to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, I'm glad we agree on that. You're a land clearing contractor?
Yep.
What does that involve?
Anything from moving brush to trees, opening up lanes and clearing land, that kind of stuff.
So anything that's standing, you will take out?
Yep.
Okay. You ever get the wrong land? That's never happened, has it?
One time my brother took down the wrong trees. That was a bummer.
Yeah. Did you have to put them back then, or what?
No, well, kind of. We had to pay for it.
Oh, okay. Well, that happens. Not your fault. I don't get this here now. This is a weather thing?
I heard on radio that out east somewhere, there's this crab that predicts when the winter is going to come. It walks off the dock and it swims toward one trap or the other. And this year, it swam. It went towards the one that's going to be an early winter.
Early winter?
Yep.
It's the same crab every year?
Yeah, it's like the Punxsutawney Phil for crabs.
Of crabs?
Yeah.
Is there a name for it?
Or? I don't remember.
What's the lifespan of a crab? I'm just curious. Do they have more than one attempt at this? Or?
Well, it's like the second year they've done this.
Oh, yeah. Because yeah. I know those little woodchucks or whatever they use for the predict the, you know. What is that? What is Phil?
Groundhog.
Oh, he's a groundhog. Isn't that the same thing as a woodchuck? They call him a woodchuck, and it doesn't have as much panache, as we say, with our black sock crowd. So it's the same one every year? Same crab every year?
It could be.
Did you follow it last year?
No, I just heard about it.
Because I'd like to know his track record.
Right. Well, he said he was right last year.
Year before, does he go back that far, or when did this crab start doing this?
I'm not sure if they use one every year, but as I understand it, this was the second year for this particular crab.
Okay. Well, thanks, Mark, for calling our attention to it.
Thank you.
The man to call if you got to clear some land. Okay. Okay, Joe. Oh, Joe. Okay, hey, okay. That's the mister.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. What about that idea about mounting a weapon on your four-wheeler?
I'll call my buddy and it'll be no problem.
Okay, excellent. Let's see now. Life coach, we got a life coach. Where's our life coach today? Sarah Carnes, Lake Geneva? Where is she? Oh, hi. How you doing?
Good.
Do you have a life coach?
I do.
It's not you, though. You don't do it in the mirror. And...
No.
Yeah, cool. Okay. All right. Well, let me just talk to a life coach, because I've meant to all these years. We didn't used to have life coaches. I don't know when we started having them. When we started needing them, apparently. I mean, it's a fairly recent occupation, isn't it? If you were, well, here, just come here a second. Hi.
Hi. Fine, thanks.
Before you were a life coach, what would you have been, given your propensities?
Caterer and mom. Combination.
Okay. So is it a combination of catering and mothering that makes you a life coach then? Those skills?
It was life experience that required some coaching for me to walk through that made me realize that I had something to pursue there.
Cool. That's cool. Who was the first life coach, though? I mean, was there someone who... Because it's just like a few years, isn't it?
Yes.
Been
many years.
Jesus, I suppose you could say. Life coach.
Would have been Jesus, whoever your neighborhood, everyone would go to, the mom down the street who all the kids would go to.
But I mean as a profession.
As a profession, yeah I'd say Jesus, you're probably right on there.
But he didn't call himself a life coach, but that's sort of the and what do you do as a life coach? What is you live with the person for a while and?
No, every once in a while I'll work with somebody more intensively, but really ultimately I'm a cheerleader, a person who gives them a kick in the butt if they need it, as well as some compassion, because I can't want their changes more than they want it for themselves.
So wouldn't that require actually living with them and getting up with them, and the first thing they should see in the morning would be you?
I haven't gone that far, but I guess it could be an option.
On-site. I mean, on-site. Thank you very much for that, Sarah. Thank you, Life Coach.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you. Hook in the game, Life Coach. We're going to play the quiz because you saw how it went the first time. It could go that way again, or, you know, it could go right through the roof on this. But last time, they won everything. So here's a chance. If you saw that the first quiz and you said, well, that's something I could do, let's hear from you right now. Let's hear from you right now. Let's show a little enthusiasm for the concept. Show enthusiasm. Guy from Illinois, okay, he's got his hand up. Okay, Illinois guy has his hand up. What about someone not from Illinois? You're not from Illinois, are you? No, I didn't mean that. I was just kidding. Come on, dear, come on down this way. Join us over here. How are you?
I'm great. I'm from Sun Prairie.
Sun Prairie. How not Illinois can you get?
I traveled to get here.
You did?
Yeah.
You come down to Washington.
Yeah, I'm with my, my friends right here.
Where East Washington just continues.
My Madison Newcomers group.
Excellent. You are?
Cheryl Graves.
Cheryl, are you from Sun Prairie originally? Or?
No, I'm from Illinois.
Oh. Hoisting my own petard, ladies and gentlemen. Or hoisting Cheryl's petard. Cheryl, right?
Yes.
Cheryl, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
Because I listen to you all the time.
Okay,
and I want to give a shout out to my husband who's turning 50 this year and wish him a happy birthday. It's Wednesday.
Is he here?
No.
He's looking.
He slept in. Well, he doesn't deserve our shout out. Cheryl, come on down here if you would. Join us on the What Do You Know stage, along with Cheryl, who will now play the quiz and a shout out to her husband.
And nobody expect a repeat performance from... I don't think I'm going to do as good as she did.
Yeah.
She set the bar kind of high.
Jennifer?
Yeah.
She was good. Did a good job. What do you do these days, Cheryl?
I am a stay-at-home mom.
Stay-at-home mom?
Yep.
How many you got there at home with you?
I've got two.
Yeah?
13-year-old who is a handful.
Oh, yeah.
And a 10-year-old who's becoming a handful.
Oh, yeah. But pretty soon they'll be, you know, they don't need you so much. You can go out and... get your handful somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that day.
Yeah? Well, that's good. And a boy and a girl, did you say? Or
yep, boy and a girl.
Boy and a girl. Okay. So you got a teenager there now and a and a wannabe.
Yes.
Teenage wannabe. They get along, do they?
You know what? They do sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially when I tell them to go clean their room. All of a sudden, they find each other utterly fascinating and quietly play in their rooms
Isn't
together.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah.
Very nice. That's nice. And you live out in Sun Prairie?
Yes, I do.
Yes. Wonderful place, Sun Prairie.
You know what? It's gorgeous. We love living in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I always thought I'd be always an Illinois person, but I am.
Don't keep saying it.
You know what? You know what? I am totally Wisconsinite now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go Packers.
You see, it's possible. It's possible to take one and raise them as if they were our own. And it can recover from any of those symptoms, actually, over a period of years. Where in Illinois?
Elgin.
Oh, from Elgin.
Yep.
That's a nice place. Okay, Cheryl, you know how the quiz works?
Oh, yeah.
Someone out there plays along with you, and you co-op. And see, they're already on the line here now. Excuse me just a second.
Someone Jack. Smart.
Jack, what are you thinking, Jack?
Hello?
Jack? Yeah, Jack, what's your thinking here?
What question comes up? Yeah.
That's the question. The question is, what's your thinking, Jack? We haven't asked the question yet.
What am I thinking? Because I can't believe I got on the air.
Well, you're not really. I'm just stopping here
okay.
to point out the fact that you're there and there's no question.
Okay, all right, no question.
Okay, I'll leave you on there, though. I'll put you on hold.
Okay.
Okay. Uh-oh. I don't know. We'll find out, I guess, when we ask the question. Sarah.
Yes, Michael.
Now we're playing the quiz. How does a person at home who wants to play the quiz here with Cheryl do that.
1-800-REBROADCAST, as in not live. So there's no need to call this week.
How many gray T-shirts does Mark Zuckerberg own, is the question. We need to be pretty close on this, don't you think? Sarah?
Yeah, I would say within 10.
Let's go to the phones right now. The question is, how many gray T-shirts does Mark Zuckerberg own? He just revealed this, I guess, in an interview. I don't know, Barbara Walters, somebody could draw that out of him. Let's go to the phones right now. It's Jack from Belton, Missouri. Hey, Jack.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good. Let's pretend we never met. Do you follow Mark Zuckerberg at all, or are you a Facebooker?
I refuse to do Facebook, but I do know who he is.
Yeah, you don't go on there and stalk?
Not at all.
No. My daughters won't let me actually go on. They won't friend me. What does it mean when your own daughters won't friend you on Facebook? I mean, they won't like me. They have to like me. They said, Dad, there's no way I'm going to... Now, my brother Clayton went on, and they gave him a limited... whatever it's called.
A limited like.
You know what that is?
No.
So he can't see any of the good stuff. They'll let him see, like, you know, their main page or something, right? Or their status. But he can't see anything else. But anyhow, Zuckerberg is responsible for all that. How many gray T-shirts does he own? He seems to wear nothing but a gray T-shirt.
256.
Sorry, Jack. That's way off.
Okay.
Right. Thanks, though. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Peter's on the line from Sherman, New York. Hey, Peter.
Hey, Michael.
How are you?
I'm great. How about you?
Good. How's your morning so far? What's going on?
Well, I'm driving down the road hauling pumpkin soup.
You're hauling a load of pumpkin soup down the road, are you?
Yeah.
Well, a guy's got to do what a guy's got to do. Yeah. You got a pumpkin soup tanker? Is that what you're driving there?
No, it's sloshing around in a crock pot.
Oh, it's in a crock pot. Okay. I thought you had a big hose, truck with a big hose on it, and you're going to unload it in some... Pumpkin soup.
We'll go over to our woman friend and deliver a pumpkin
Peter,
soup.
Peter the pumpkin soup tanker.
Hey, I was waiting for that one.
Yeah, cool. Where is this soup going to end up then, Peter?
Waterford, Pennsylvania.
You're in New York now. You're going to Pennsylvania with a crock pot of soup.
I cross state lines. I don't know if that's cool or not.
I guess it depends what's in your soup, really. But
Yep.
What's the occasion?
Go over with sending him a caterer. I got collard greens and some baked potatoes and a bunch of tools. I'm going to do some honeydew and, you know, you get the idea.
Oh, you're catering an event?
Well, I'm going over to visit a woman friend.
Oh, say no more, Peter. If she doesn't like this, she doesn't like home cooking, I'll tell you that. This ought to work really good for you, Peter.
Well, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, I think it's going to work. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Peter, you're our hero now, Peter. You're doing it right.
I trust you. I trust you. I've been listening to you for years and years and years.
Yeah, oh, you're my man, Peter. You're going to be...
Yeah, all right.
Okay, good.
So long.
Yeah. How many gray T-shirts, though, does Mark Zuckerberg own? Not to change the subject.
Right, sure.
Not as many as you might think.
Well, seven.
More than that, but not as many as you might think.
Is that my answer or what?
Well, no, I just want you to think about it. You know.
Oh, think about it again. Well,
yeah, I know you're preoccupied with your soup 29. And your greens. How many?
29.
Within how many did you say?
I said 10.
20 is what we have here. He's admitted to having 20, and I think it's low anyhow. So we're going to have to give that to you, Peter. So are you all right to do this while you're hauling all that soup and greens?
I stopped. I'm rested. I'm a good sleep.
Okay. Are you on the side of the road, or did you pull off?
I pulled off here by the side, yeah.
Okay, I guess it's the same thing, isn't it, pretty much, as I think about it.
In front of the feed mill.
You're by the feed mill?
Yeah.
Okay, so you won't get hit or anything or while you're doing this?
No.
Okay.
I'm all right.
Okay. You got those little orange triangles you can put out or something while you do this? Little cones?
Well, you want me to get out and put one out? I can't if you
want. No. That's when you get hit, man. That's the worst. Don't just stay in your vehicle. Stay in your vehicle, Peter.
Yeah. Well, we might run out of time.
Okay. Well, Cheryl, this is Peter.
Hi, Peter.
He's your partner.
Yeah,
let's go right to the quiz then, shall we? What are those categories?
The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay. Peter, pick the first one. What would you like?
odds and ends.
Odds and ends could be anything. Yes, it is.
Good man.
Did the Roman Empire spike greenhouse emissions? I mean, when they're really happening, the Roman Empire. Was there a spike in greenhouse gas emissions during the Roman Empire?
On the upside, it's a 50-50 chance.
Yes or no, right?
Yes or no, right. Yes, can't say both of those.
Yeah, sort of. No. Okay.
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, yes. You're saying
yes. Yes is yes. It did. The big spike. Of course, there was also the Han Dynasty in China. That could have contributed. A lot of incense. Can do things. And
we're at one right and zero wrong.
Okay, what's left then?
And the remaining categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, or science.
Things I should have learned in school.
School, okay, here it is.
Uh-oh.
If you are comestible, what are you? Comestible.
Comestible?
No.
Can you spell that?
Comestible, yes, I can.
Yeah.
Would you?
Oh, would I spell it? Comestible. Comestible. Means what quality? Say, of pumpkin soup, for example.
Able to get along well.
Able to get along well with others?
Sure.
Yeah.
No, I'm afraid edible. It means edible. Yeah.
That would be... As in comida, in Spanish. Yes. Yeah.
That would be, Sarah?
That would be one right and one wrong.
Doing your taxes or something? Yes. What's left there?
We have current events, people, places, or science.
Okay. Back to Peter.
Oh, I don't pay attention to anything current, so how about science?
Science it is. Who can dive deeper, the snailfish or the fangtooth? They both go deep.
I love these.
They both go deep, I'll tell you that right now.
How about my partner? What's
snailfish or fangtooth, deepest diver?
The snailfish?
Snailfish is right, yes. That's two right. One more, we get it. Come on, we can do it. What's left there?
We have current events, people, places.
Current events, people, places. Hurry. No pressure here. Hurry!
people.
People. Okay. Who follows their own advice more, doctors or nurses, in terms of healthy behavior?
Oh, that'd be nurses.
Or doctors. Talk it over, Peter.
Agreed, nurses.
Or doctors. Talk it over
now. Or doctors.
I
think it's
doctors. Talk it with Peter. Did you hear them both? Something wrong with this card. Doctors or nurses, who follows actually their own advice more, doctors or nurses?
Doctors. Nurses?
Or right. Nurses. You say doctors? Doctors do? You say doctors have healthier behavior than nurses?
I want to say nurses.
No, I'm thinking nurses. I'm going to stick with nurses.
Do you want to win or don't you?
All right.
Now what are you thinking?
Go ahead.
What does the audience think?
Okay, I'm going to doctors.
Doctors is right. They won the one you know quiz. Unbelievable comeback. Oh, they won.
Cheryl, as the temperatures and humidity drop, you'll soon be in need of the soothing comfort of Badger Healing Balm, containing extra virgin olive oil, beeswax, castor oil, aloe vera, and other all-natural ingredients from the Duluth Trading Company. Peter, you'll star at your next Nuministic convention with a custom-minted, premium-quality, not-seen-on-TV Silver Jubilee Anniversary Quarter. It's legal tender at all fine what-do-you-know department stores nationwide. Non-motherload... Oh, no, ending prizes. And you can get in a little free-form recreation before the snow flies with a bright, red, transparent Celebrate Erie 2006 Frisbee from Erie, Pennsylvania. Congratulations to you.
Well, we're getting rid
both.
Of everything, aren't we? Cheryl, congratulations. Thanks for playing the quiz. Peter, hang on.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer, with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Martin Babcock, and Diana Cook. Our technical director is Tom Blaine, with help from Brad Kohlberg and Aubrey Ralph. A very special thanks to our guest, Tracy Michelle Arnold. I'm Sarah Nix, hoping you'll join us next week for more of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know?
PRI, Public Radio International.